Father, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Before you're seated, so I can keep you awake for a few minutes, we're going to pray for a few people. Shelby, do you want us to pray for your grandmother by chance? What's her name? Carol. Would you join me? We're going to pray for a few people. We're going to pray for Shelby's grandmother, who's in the hospital right now, Carol. We're going to pray for Kathy Dunnington, who's in the hospital right now. We're going to pray for my brother-in-law, Mike, who after a week is still in the hospital. I forgot what you went for Tony, for your daughter. Are your daughter Jennifer, right? We got a paper. Who's going to have a hysterectomy or surgery tomorrow? And Darlene Nenny, pray for her health. She hadn't been feeling well, so we're going to pray for her health. Amen. Jim Anderson and all of Anderson. So, Father, right now as we pray, Father God, who's that? I'm sorry. Ron Harkins. I'm not fit. Am I familiar with? But, Lord, we pray for Ron. Okay, Ron Harkins, Lord, we pray for him right now, Father, in the hospital. And I believe he knows you as his Savior. And, Lord, we just pray that right now that as we're praying, people will feel our prayers, feel the encouragement by the Holy Spirit. So, Ron Harkins, right now, Father, we pray for his complete healing, that you would touch him, minister to him in his body, his mind, and his soul, Father God, from the born-again spirit within him, Lord. We just pray that your presence would fill that room in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for Shelby's grandmother, Father God, Carol, that you would encourage her right now, strengthen her, Father. Lord, any fears in her life that she may be facing right now, we pray that you would encourage her and bring comfort to her heart right now in Jesus' name. And we speak health unto Carol in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for in the next few months leading and guiding Carol's life, that what she needs to do, Father God, as she comes out of that hospital, thank you for directing her path and giving her family wisdom regarding these things in Jesus' name. Kathy Dunnington, Father, we just speak and declare healing in her life. Thank you for Kathy and what she's been and her part in this body in Jesus' name. Lord, just touch her and heal her body. Thank you, Father. Strengthen her and her husband. Is it Ed? In Jesus' name, that your hand be upon Ed, Father God, as he's trying to hold the fort down, Father. Bless Ed and strengthen him in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for Kathy Dunnington. We bless Kathy Dunnington. We speak healing to Kathy Dunnington right now in Jesus' name. And to Jennifer, Father, who's going to be in the hospital, be having surgery tomorrow, just bless her, strengthen her, encourage her, Father. We pray that that surgery will go well without a hitch, Father God, that everything will go smoothly in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for Jennifer. We bless Jennifer in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And for our sister, Darlene Nenny, Father, we thank you for the power of God coming upon her right now, Father God, for healing, for strength, Father God, for emotional touch in her heart as having just lost her husband, Father. We thank you for your mighty presence, Father, the promises of God, Father God, being realized in her life. And, Father, we pray for healing over her right now in her little home and heal her back in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for that. Lord, my brother-in-law, Mike, I thank you that during this time where he's been in the hospital for over a week, been very sick for over 3 weeks, I thank you that he's been turning to God. He's not been turning away from God, asking why. Didn't really know you, but I thank you right now. He's saying, please pray for me. And Lord, as he's asked for a Bible, he's asked to hunger for the Word of God. So my brother-in-law, Mike, I thank you for what you're doing in his life. Thank you, Father God. My Aunt Tony, thank you for Aunt Tony who fell down and broke some bones. Lord, we pray you bless Aunt Tony and touch her, Lord. Touch her physically and touch her heart with you, Lord. Visit her, Father, in her situation. And bless Aunt Tony, Father. And everybody else in our body, I think of Wells, who's in the hospital. Betty Wells, Lord, your hand upon her. Blessing that saint of God, your hand upon her. That dear saint of God, your hand of blessing upon her. Amen. Amen, body, blessing her. Frank Mance, Father, touching Frank Mance, who's very sick right now. Touch Frank, Lord, bless Frank. Thank you for Frank, Lord, his sowing in the things he's done in the kingdom. Bless Frank and your hand upon him, Father God. Upon Jim Anderson and all of, Lord, blessing them. Lord, we name these individuals name by name, knowing, Father God, that you are a God that answers our prayers. And so we thank you for that, Lord, right now. Thank you. And others who have been sick, Cliff Rice in our body who's been sick, thank you for blessing and touching him and your hand upon him, Father. And so we thank you for that right now. In Jesus' name, and any other prayer, everybody else in the body we don't know of that might be sick right now, thank you for your hand upon them. Reggie, thank you for blessing Reggie. Amen. A miracle. Reggie, a walking miracle. I can't wait to hear from this body, hear from it in person what you've done in his, not only in his body, but in his life. And we thank you for Reggie, Father, in Jesus' name. Do you love him this evening? Thank you, Father. Do you believe he answers prayer? Absolutely. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Love praying with the saints of God. Aren't you glad you're a saint of God? What would you be if you weren't a saint of God? I shiver to think where I'd be without Jesus. How about you? I don't know. Some of us might be popping up daisies if we didn't have Jesus. And I mean that. Thank you that he gives us a brand new life. Whether you live under a bridge or in a palace, he is in the business of changing lives, isn't he? Amen. Remember I told you that one individual I knew that was very successful, at the end of his life, he bawling like a baby saying, I didn't do enough. My life didn't mean anything. So just success in the world, money, when at the end of the day, all of that burns up without Jesus. There's nothing there. So with this individual, I'm certainly glad they found Jesus, though. You know, that I will see that individual again. That's God's grace and mercy right there. Amen? Amen. You know, we're in the book of John, session 2, but we haven't started a verse yet because, remember, last week was an intro to John. Intro to the book of the Gospel of John, right? We figure that they say church history says that he wrote this book in Ephesus and that it was in AD 95 or 96, perhaps. So, you know, they say he was the youngest of all the disciples of Jesus, and he was one that was not martyred, the only disciple of those 12 of the 12 that wasn't martyred, right? And so, he wrote, church history says that he wrote the book of John because, does he identify himself in the book of John? He does not. How does he identify himself? Does anybody remember? The disciple whom Jesus loved. And I tell you what, as I saw that, I have to admit, I've just chewed on that and chewed on that and chewed on that and continue to chew on that. Lord, what that could mean in an individual's life. The understanding, right? Amen. John 1:1 in the New American Standard Bible. If you're looking in your Bible, I'll take time and make sure if you're going to the Bible, if you're wanting to look in your scripture. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, if you just take a look at that, and you just think about it in the natural mind, you could say, that's a funny scripture. That scripture really doesn't make sense. In the beginning was the Word. We know what written word is or saying a word. How can that be a noun or a person or place or thing, right? But it's so powerful when we look at this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, word in the Greek is logos. It means God's thoughts. A couple things here. It's God's rhema. We'll talk about that. God's rhema, or spoken word recorded in the Bible, right? I think of God things that are God that has spoken to people in the past that they've written down and become scripture. Now God's word is infallible, right? Perfect. There's not one error in his word. There's things that maybe don't apply to us necessarily today, but we understand that all of this with the law and everything that God wrote previously had a purpose, amen? Did it not? And so just, I was looking at a, and I'll bring it up, a scripture in Habakkuk. I hope I said that right. I did my best. 2:2-3 says, then the Lord replied, he's talking to Habakkuk. He says, hey, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. So he's saying, hey, I heard God speak to me, the Rhema word, and then I wrote it down. It became logos, but it's still life. The things that God has spoke in people's hearts, the prophets and the apostles that is the Bible now, those were things that were inspired by God. It says they were God-breathed and inspired. Amen? When you understand that the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, so when we're reading the Word of God, we're actually reading the very heart, the thoughts, the mind of God. Rhema is recorded in the Bible. It means, logos means motive, reasoning, divine expression, communication, doctrine, intent, speech, talk, word, and work. Don't you know that the Word of God works in our lives? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad the Word of God works in your lives? If you allow it. If you allow it. And so I wanted to mention this thing. In the beginning was the Word. We'll talk a little bit more about that. What about, it says his thoughts. Aren't you glad from the Word of God that we can, by his Spirit, understand his thoughts? Amen? Where would we be without the Word of God? Would we know anything about salvation? Would we know anything about doctrine? Would we know anything about God's thoughts towards us? We would not. Amen? I love in the book of Isaiah, if I can get there. I think, John, I'm going to start with verse 7. We're talking about the Word, right? Logos. God. God's thoughts. God's expression. His divine expression. Amen. Isaiah 55, verse 7. It says, let the wicked abandon his way and the unrighteous person his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Aren't you glad he abundantly has pardoned through Jesus Christ? And then he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. This is God speaking. He says, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And it says, I want to read a little bit, because we've been talking about seed and harvest, have we not? Anybody been here on Sunday? It says, for as the rain and the snow come down, this is talking about his Word and his thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it produce and sprout, and providing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the purpose for which I sent it. So his word has a purpose. It's seed. It waters your soul, amen. It accomplishes, it has a purpose. It doesn't just come back void. When God speaks to you in the Word, if God speaks to you through me, it has a purpose. It is powerful. In the beginning was the Word, amen. You'll be tempted, the world tempts you to say, hey, the Word of God is foolishness. Or the Word of God is a good book. But I'm telling you, it is the very foundation, the most important book in a believer's life. It's the most important book that's ever been written, but those who do not know the Lord don't realize it. In this world today, they try to say that the Word of God is antiquated, right? It's no longer applies, but it still applies every bit as the day that it was written, whether it be the book of Isaiah or the book of Galatians or Revelations. It's still as powerful today as when it was written, because as I've said before, with God, a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Amen. You and I are eternal beings. Amen. We just got going here. When you die, it just begins. The fun just begins. We will see him face to face. We will know him, the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 13, we will know him as we are known. And so right now, the way that we know him, the way we're encouraged and strengthened, number one is by the word. Number one, by the word. It's the building block and the foundation of everything that you and I believe. I love the gifts of the Spirit, but they're not our foundation. You look at the Corinthians, right? You know the Corinthians. They had the word. They walked powerfully in the gifts of the Spirit, but they were a wreck because of they were sowing discord. If you remember, you read it. One group says, hey, I'm following Paul. And another group said, I'm following Apollos. And another group said, hey, I'm following Cephas or Peter. I mean, he's one of the original dudes, right? I'm following him. He's got answers. He's got revelations. He's my favorite speaker. And so you think of the things that were going on in the church in the midst of even of all the spiritual gifts, they have gotten away from the foundation of the Word of God. As Paul said when he came to Corinthians, I determined to know nothing amongst you but Christ and him crucified. The foundation of everything that you and I in our lives is upon the Word, because we believe something is directing and leading our lives, determining the direction of our lives. I pray it's the Word, amen? I pray it's the Word that's leading and directing our lives. You know, with the Holy Spirit that lives in you and I, the Spirit can come alive. The Word of God becomes, it goes from being logos to rhema, where God speaks to us. That Word speaks to us. Now, I've had times where the Word of God, I'm praying and or just reading the Word of God, it'll just jump into my spirit. It's as if Jesus spoke it to me. It becomes divine. It becomes inspirational. It becomes light in my soul. Have you experienced that? That's what God wants everybody to experience. And it starts with this. Lord, I believe your word is perfect. Lord, I believe your word is the direction for my life. God, I take your word seriously. It's not something that just, oh, yeah, that's the word of God. It's our foundation. Everything you believe, is it foundational upon the word of God? In the past, maybe you've seen where I've shown the video of the underground church people in China receiving a Bible. And if you get a chance to look on YouTube of this group of Chinese people receiving a Bible that they don't have, they're just, the way they're cherishing it, just like, it's beyond even a child who's never gotten a toy for Christmas. They're like, oh, this Bible is just like precious. I can't believe I finally got a Bible. I can't believe I got this Bible. They're like, wow. The hearts and understanding on the under the impression that they are where they live, amen, and not able to openly worship and declare Jesus, having to be underground and getting a Bible, like this is the most important thing. This is the most valuable present I've ever received. And you know what? It is. It absolutely is. Lord, that you and I, Lord, that in our hearts a stirring of the word becoming the most precious and important thing in our life. I believe as we do that, as we understand that, that's when that word, that's that logos becomes rhema. It's almost like God himself speaking it in our ears. It's where it becomes alive. It's where it changes individuals. It's where those things that somebody has been struggling with or trying to get an answer from, all of a sudden something in the world will just, and it changes everything in an instant. How precious is the word of God? Amen. That is Isaiah 55, where he's talking about, hey, the word of God goes out and does exactly what I desire to do, and it does not return void. God's word is powerful. God's word is life-changing. You think about how you came to Christ. We're all growing in Christ, but it was somebody declaring Jesus to you and somebody else teaching that actually put seed in your heart that's growing now and producing fruit. Is that word that was powerful that changed your life? The word of God is what helps us to keep our emotions in check. Amen. Say, I'm not letting my emotions lead me. The word of God by faith is leading me. You know, to the world, faith seems like nonsense. But faith is the most powerful substance. The Bible calls it a substance, the most powerful substance there is in the world. Because to every man was given a measure of faith. But hardness of heart and unbelief, that never germinates and never comes forward. Aren't you glad that your faith has come forward in the Word of God and got a hold of the Word of God and you are growing in Him? It's amazing to me that faith in the seed of the Word of God has made me born again. It says that I am of incorruptible seed in Peter. And that seed, that incorruptible seed in me, is what completely changed my life and thinking. And it was all done by faith. And when you're walking in faith in the supernatural, you'll see that. You'll see the supernatural in your life. You see the supernatural in your family. But it all started by this silly thing called faith in the Word of God. Your mind will try to tell you sometimes, this is crazy. You ever had that? But your spirit man says, sorry, I'm renewing my mind. I'm not listening to you, mind. I'm not listening to you. I'm listening to the Word of God, and I'm listening to my spirit man. He's leading me. Not my emotions, not my mind, not the records that play. Amen? We said it before here. Remember going around that mountain, and you wave, going around the mountain when she comes. Go again and wave. There he is. There she is. It's the Word of God and the Spirit of God that takes us off those tracks that we find ourselves on. Amen. Trusting in His Word, reading His Word, realizing, Jesus, You are the Word. On the road of Emmaus, is that what it was? When Jesus had rose again, and these, I think it was a couple of guys got together, and they were walking. They said, we had thought that He was the Word. And so it said Jesus approached him, but He kept His identity from them. And He says, hey, why are you guys so down? And he said, well, this Jesus, we thought He was going to be the Messiah. But Jesus started declaring Himself from the prophets, through Moses and through all the prophets, of what had to be done, that He had to give His life. And then they said, hey, would you join us for dinner? So He came in, He gave thanks for dinner, and He disappeared. Then they realized it was Jesus. They said, wasn't our heart burning as He spoke to us? Did you know He's still talking to us? That same burning that Jesus did on the road to Emmaus is right here still. It's still designed to burn in our heart. But we got to understand it is the most precious thing we have in this world. I don't quite understand it. God, You're the maker of heaven and earth. I've seen Your power. I've had experiences with You. But it still comes back to You wanting me to dive into this thing, put words on paper, to change my life and to change the world. And guess what? That's exactly what's happening. That's exactly the way it works. Jesus speaking and then signs and wonders. Amen? You love His Word? Both Logos and Rhema are the Word of God. But the former, or Logos, is God's Word objectively perfect. It's fact recorded in the Bible. While the latter, right, that's Rhema, is the Word of God spoken to us at a specific occasion. A passage of the Logos can move into being Rhema when it's applicable to a scenario or God is showing us something. Amen? You've heard of Rhema Bible College, or you and I were speaking the Rhema Word. But what we're speaking, most of the time, doesn't it line up with the Word of God? Amen? He's the one that says, tell this mountain to be pulled up and plucked out and thrown into the sea. And so we're praying, right? We're just praying what He said in His Word. And we say, God, thank You for the mountain in front of me. By faith, I declare that it's being plucked up, removed, and cast into the sea. We're just repeating what the Word of God says, that Logos, and we're making it Rhema as it comes out of our mouth. I've learned that when there's a struggle, the enemy, I'm learning when it's the enemy pressing against me, I just start declaring the Word of God. Not only for him to hear, Buster, enemy of my soul, but to know that I'm not going to be knocked around anymore as easily as I was in the past. I know His Word, but I also want it to go out of my mouth and into my ears, into my brain, into my conscience. I want to hear that go in. So I start declaring it. saying, Lord, thank you, Father, for setting me free. Father, thank you for blessing my church. Thank you for blessing my country. Father, thank you that you're turning things around. Thank you that the enemy's power is being broken. And I start declaring those scriptures. The promises of God are yes and amen. So the spoken word being rhema, that written word, logos, both very powerful. Amen. I'll just tell a little bit in Acts 8, example of logos moving to rhema. There was an Ethiopian and Philip the evangelist. You guys ever heard of Philip the evangelist? So this Ethiopian was returning, I think, to Ethiopia, and he was in a chariot? Wasn't in a wagon. They didn't have those yet, did they? A chariot. And he was reading Isaiah 53 about Jesus, and he's reading that, and he says, gosh, what's this mean? And Philip, by the Spirit of God, said, hey, go join that chariot, go talk to that guy. So he went up there, he alongside of it, and said, hey, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm reading this Isaiah 53, but I can't understand it. There's nobody to explain it to me. And then he started declaring the word of God to him, the rhema. And then he stopped right there, gave his life to Jesus, and was baptized right there. They found some water. He said, hey, can I be baptized right now? And he said, yeah. Then it says the Spirit of God caught up Philip, and he was gone to the next town. Supersonic speed, probably, right? You see, he wasn't understanding the logos. And then as it was declared to him what this Isaiah 53, he was born again. I guarantee you after that logos became life to him. If the Spirit of God lives in you, you have the ability to understand his word. But you got to want to understand. And I can tell you that I like what David had said in the Psalms. He says, your word is like honey on my lips. And I've learned that, I said this before, if you eat a steak, eventually, whether it's 8 ounces, 12 ounces, 16 ounces, or a 32-ounce porterhouse, at some point, you're going to get full. But I've come to learn with the Word of God, as I take it more in, actually grow hungrier. I actually say, oh, man, God, your Word's bringing peace. It's settling my heart. You're settling my heart. The written Word is settling my heart. Do you love His Word? Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. I just want to mention this because it's one of one. It also said that the word of God meant work. One of those things that's working in us. And Philippians 2, 12, it says, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And then it's funny because then it says, for it is God who is working in you. In you, both to desire and to do, to work for His good pleasure. You know, we're plowing with Him. Sometimes reading that word will seem like work, right? But don't look at it that way. You don't have to just say, hey, I've got to read 2 chapters or 3 chapters. Sometimes I'll take 1 or 2 scriptures and I'll chew on that. That's all I need for the day. After all, it's fellowship, right? It's not a schoolmaster who says, okay, Jesus says, okay, you read your 2 chapters today. You did a good job. Good boy. Did you get anything out of it? Sometimes I'll get more out of just 1 or 2 scriptures than I would have out of reading the whole chapter. God will just stop me there, and I'll start thinking about that. I'll start meditating on that. He'll start revealing something to me. The Word of God is always about Jesus revealing Himself to you and I. It's always about Him revealing His goodness to us. Because if He is the Word, that means that this is life. This is just not words on a paper that, boy, if I can just get that list of what I should do and not do, then somehow my life is going to line up. There is people who read the Word of God like that. If this will just line up. If I can get enough in me to somehow put this tablet of do's and don'ts together, then something will click. But that's not how the Word of God and grace works. What clicks is His revealing Himself to you. We're not sin conscious. we're conscious of his righteousness in us. And I notice in some of those sinful things will start breaking off. Amen. They'll start breaking away. Have a young man I keep talking to, and even this week sending me text saying, no, you've got to follow the law. Are you eating pork? Are you following the whole law? And you know, that's all rooted and grounded, I hate to say it, in pride. I'm going to learn enough that I'm going to put this together, and it's all going to come together, and I'm going to be righteous. And if that person ever gets there, the only thing you got is self-righteousness. It's the only thing you have. And then that same person can say, hey, if you're going to be righteous, you got to follow the same list that I have. And the other person might say, yeah, I followed your list, but I added to it. Can you do it? Him living in us, I mean, him working, our working is following him. Our work is saying, Lord, I'm not going to believe the lies of the enemy. Lord, my work is I'm trusting you. I'm not going to turn to my own strength. Amen. Sometimes it can seem like difficulty or work. Sometimes the enemy, when he comes against you, sometimes it's all you can do just to hold on, isn't it? You ever had times like that in your life? It could be a week. It could be a day. It could be an hour where the enemy will really press against you. But that foundation of the word that you have in you is what says, I'm standing firm. I'm not going anywhere. It's the foundation of the word in you says, you know what, emotions? Lay down or sit down. What did Pastor Lee used to say, go lay down? No, you don't have any part of my salvation. I am in control of my emotions. The word of God allows us to control those things that would try to want us to come unglued. To try our mind to go everywhere. But when we understand the preciousness, and the word of God is precious to us, we stay right there. What's that one in Isaiah 26:3? Am I quoting, thinking of the right scripture? Thank you, Mike. Amen. Amen. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Let me ask you, how do you keep your mind? Just talk to yourself a second. How do you keep your mind stayed upon him? You just establish in the word. You believe his word. You believe you're not going to be moved from it. You know, we can have struggles where we fail from day to day or whatever. But we still say, we brush ourselves off and say, Lord, I'm still following you. His word. It says in verse 2, it says, he was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, listen to this, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. Not even one. In him was, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not grasp it. Light shining in the darkness, the word of God, the lamp unto my feet and the light into the path. Did you know the word of God is a bright and shining light in your soul realm? It's light. People who refuse the word continue to walk in darkness. I love Genesis 1 through, I think it's just 1 and 2. I'm sorry, John, I think I put 1 through verse 4, but it's just verses 1 and 2. It says, in the beginning. So it says, you know, in John it says, in the beginning was the word. And then you go to Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was a formless and desolate emptiness. And darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then, you know, Galatians 4:19 says, my children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. It's funny how he's saying the world was without form. Amen. You know, before Christ found you, your heart, your soul had no form. It had no light. It had nothing to grasp at to get a hold of God. It had nothing. And then verse 3 of Genesis chapter 1, it says, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Isn't that wonderful? When you gave your life to him, that he separated the light from the darkness, that he brought light into your life, that he separated you from darkness. The enemy would love to say, hey, you're just still in darkness. Well, there's things I don't know about God. It says in 1 Corinthians 13 that I'm looking as in a glass dimly. I don't see clear, right? But I know I can know from the word of God that I'm born again and I walk in the light as he is in the light. The enemy would like to say, hey, no, you're still not formed. You still don't belong to him. You're still not walking in light. That is a complete lie, by the way. 1 Peter 2:9, I love this scripture. But you are chosen people. Say, I'm chosen. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. God has separated the light from the darkness in the natural, and he's done it to you and I in the supernatural, bringing us out of darkness. The enemy would try to say, hey, you're still in darkness. No, I'm not in darkness. I still have my struggles. But the word of God says that I've come from darkness into his marvelous light. Don't you love his light? I said, do you love his light? As I grow in him, I love his light. I love his truths. I love growing in faith. I love allowing him day by day, not giving up my faith, little by little increasing in my understanding of him, in my confidence in him. I'm not formless. I'm not void. I'm not waiting for something else. I am walking in the light as he is in the light. I've been born again. God has separated the light from the darkness, not only in the natural, but also in the spiritual world. I love Ephesians 5:11-14 explains it. It says, do not participate in the useless deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. Everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. Allow him always. You know what? You can say, God, anything you want to do in my life. He's never going to hurt you. He's never going to do something to you. What he's going to do is just turn on the light in your heart. And when you see, when light comes into areas of darkness, what happens to darkness? It flees. Always say, Lord, thank you for the light that's shining in my heart. It's the world that says, hey, you're foolish. You're one of those freaks. But you know, those are people that are walking in darkness. They haven't seen the light. There's nothing in them. They're still without form. It's a void there. There's been no separation of darkness from light. They haven't come into the kingdom of light. So we should expect those people are going to say, they can't see. When you're in darkness, you just stumble around, right? When I don't turn the lights on in here, I don't know how many times I've done a little flip over a chair in here. Because it's dark. I can't see. I finally learned to turn on the flashlight on my phone. Get a few bumps and bruises, right? It's complete darkness. People are bumping into darkness because they don't have the light. You and I, we have the light, whether the world tries to shame you, the devil, who's a god of this world? Satan, trying to shame you and I. Man, you're walking in light. You've got the truth within you. You have something that many people, I hate to say, with a broken heart, will never have. They'll never experience any light. Their pride, their way of life, their love for this world will not allow them to experience any light. Aren't you glad that he's given you the light? So the thing that John started out with is, he is the word. Amen? And he is the light. When the word is precious to you, you realize the power of what it does to change you, that's when it becomes light. That's when it shines in our heart, the brightest. That's when we can trust the gifts of the Spirit because our foundation is in the word of God. We're not going anywhere. That those gifts and those things are added to us. They're not the foundation. They're added to us to be victorious and encourage one another in Christ. Amen. But the foundation is his word. Can we stand up a second? Everybody stayed awake. Can we just say thank you, Lord, for the light in my heart? Lord, just turn on the light even brighter. Father, I want to see you more clearly. Father, I thank you for the precious word of God. Lord, I thank you. There's nothing more precious in all this world than your written word that becomes life and rhema to me. Father, we thank you in our church, Lord. A victory comes when light exposes darkness. Lord, things that are dark maybe in our hearts still, things that we may not even be aware of, or things that we, for whatever reason, may keep hidden. Lord, we ask that your light, Lord, we give you permission. How about you? Lord, we give you permission to shine the light in every area of my heart, Father God, that the Spirit of God bubbling up within me, Father God, exposes those things that might want to try to trip me up, those things that would try to drag me back into depression, Father God. Lord, expose those with the light of your word. Expose those with the light of your truth in Jesus' name. Lord, the word of God towards my family, the word of God, Lord, towards my church, my community, my nation, Father God. Lord, expose the light, Lord. Lord, we thank you in the nation of dark corners, Father God. Things that have been hidden for years, even in the government. Thank you for shining the light and exposing it, Father God. Because your word says in light that darkness flees. So, Father, we thank you for darkness fleeing. We thank you for people of light and the truth, Father God, serving in our government, serving in our churches, serving in businesses. Lord, we thank you for the light exposing darkness. And it starts with me, Father. Thank you, Lord. I give you permission every area because I'm born again already. I'm walking in your grace, and I want to draw closer to you, and I cannot do that unless things are shown to me, and it's called light. Thank you for your light, Father. We bless you and honor you tonight, Father God. We thank you for the word of God that's so precious. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Father, we thank you for that. Thank you for printing that in our hearts. Tomorrow morning, Father, as we wake up, Lord, we pray that your Word would be in our lips. Our praise to you would be in our lips, Father God. First thing out of our mouths, Father, would be an acknowledgement of you, Father, that tomorrow belongs to you, Father God. And Lord, thank you for the light that leads us. Father, we're honored to be walking in the light as you are in the light. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Good.